Welcome to the LarryNFishers.com podcast. I'm Larry Lannon. In Fishers and many other parts of the nation, the month of November becomes Movember with an M, shining a spotlight on men's health. I talked to two prominent Fishers citizens about their involvement in the local Movember movement. I spoke with them during the morning of Monday, October 30th. I'm at Fishers City Hall, and today my guests are Steve Arusa, the fire chief for the City of Fishers, and John DeLucia, a school board member of the Hamilton Southeastern School Board and the chief lending officer for Citizens State Bank, which has a branch just a half a block from where we are here at City Hall. Gentlemen, thank you very much for joining me.
You're very welcome.
Yep. Good morning.
Well, Movember is what we're going to talk about. And the first, I actually had somebody ask me why people are misspelling the word November. No, it is not a misspelling. The M is on the front of the word for a very specific reason. It's a month of awareness about men's health issues. And in Fishers, it's a continuation of the stigma-free campaign. What I'd like each of you to do to start this off is just tell me what the Movember campaign means to you, and I'll have John start.
All right. Well, thank you, Larry. It really started with the Fishers effort, with the stigma-free Fishers and the mental health initiative. And, you know, last year was a huge year, but just continually trying to, you know, grow the awareness even more, and we're looking for a fourth quarter event, and it just seemed to time very well, you know, with the men's health in general, but then really the mental health and suicide prevention component in particular. I had participated before, and just mental health has had a profound impact on my family's life, and just, you know, see it in the community just seemed a nice way to help raise awareness and have a little fun with it too.
Chief Arusa, what do you think of when you think of Movember?
Well, I'm John's being modest. When I think of Movember, I think of John DeLucia, because last year he kind of took the lead as a private citizen and really was the catalyst to make it successful. When I think of Movember, I think of phase two of the mental health initiative. One of the targets is community outreach and anti-stigma. So Movember is just one part of a comprehensive campaign that will be ongoing in the City of Fishers to reduce the stigma around mental health. And additionally, it identifies a lot of men's health issues nationally.
Yeah, and I want to stay with you for just a moment, mm-hmm. because I saw a television news piece just the other day, and the news piece was about a rural county sheriff in South Carolina, and he had lost one of his deputies to suicide, mm-hmm. which was something that he'd read about happening other places, mm-hmm. but had never happened. And he was somebody who tried to, you know, tell his officers to get the help they need. It wasn't like he was something that was silent. It has been in public safety kind of a code of silence in the past about mm-hmm. PTSD, which happens not just to people in the military, but it happens to people in public safety, be it police or first responders and ambulance, firefighters, you name it. Talk about the changes that you have seen happen in the public safety area in terms of facing reality on some of these issues that really had not been talked about in the past.
Yeah, that's a great question. We've got our own internal stigma issues in public safety, obviously. We're looked at externally as being bulletproof. Nothing fazes us. We rescue people. We don't need rescuing. But we're also human beings, and we suffer the same anxiety, depression, the same feelings that a normal person does, and sometimes even on a greater scale, because our job is to bring calm to chaos. So over my 35-year career, you know, we've seen a big change, that a culture that embraces mental health and public safety. The suicide rate in public safety is like 3 times the national average. It's getting worse. And we've created a lot of programs to address that. One thing we've done in Fishers that's been very successful is the peer support program. No one wants to come to the fire chief's office and say, you know, I'm feeling depressed and anxious, chief. Obviously, there's a stigma and a status barrier attached to the boss's office. But now we've got trained firefighters who are peers, who can, if there is an event, reach out to firefighters, or firefighters can reach out in private to them and get them the services they need. We've got firefighters who get services every year that I never know about. The important thing is they're getting help, and they're getting the right help, and they're getting better.
You know, I worked for a federal agency that had the reputation for being tough guys and tough women in the work that they did. Mm-hmm. And I was there when they began an employee assistance program where you could contact someone anonymously for help. And I think that the management of that agency was shocked at the number of people who took advantage of that. Let me ask John. John, you know what? One of the first initiatives of Mayor Scott Fadness when he first became mayor, when he really had nothing to go on because he was the very first mayor of Fishers. We'd been to town before and governed by a town council. So we had a clean slate. And one of the first initiatives he started as a new mayor was the stigma-free, with the mental health initiative and stigma-free campaign came as a result of that. I'm going to ask each of you to talk about how the stigma attached to mental health issues has caused suffering in our society and how places like Fishers are and the Movember movement are trying to change all that.
Yeah, I tell you, Larry, I just really was blown away by that being one of the first things, you know, and I even think of that now when all these national accolades and, you know, to take on something like that where there's really not a huge PR win. I mean, it's just authentic leadership. I was really honored that he asked me to be a part of the group that Chief was a huge leadership role in with the community from the school perspective. And it's just been extraordinary how it all has fed together between the city and the schools and the community and different organizations. You know, just the level of conversation. The Peyton Recall Foundation plays a big role in that. But, I mean, all of those lines are blurred. I know Chief will talk about a lot of their training and things they're doing with the police and the firefighters. And it's just really just very cool that a community with so many positive things does not hide behind just some of the negative aspects of our society and just authentically trying to address them. And really, so that leads to, well, through the referendum, you know, part of the ask was to have some funds for, you know, who now Brooke Lawson, we have a person in a critical role within the schools. There's a partnership with Community Hospital that all kind of has flowed from this. Now the Lilly Grant and the school counseling. I mean, just amazing how that leadership has spawned so many positive things. And I think it's just going to continue. And that's just really extraordinary.
I want to talk more about the schools here in a moment, a little later on. But, Chief, you've been at the forefront of this entire mental health initiative, the stigma-free campaign that came as a result of that. Just talk about how this effort is making some progress within the city of Fishers.
Well, it's been a great experience for the whole team and for the community. When we started, we didn't know a lot about mental health, so the first year was just getting educated. The mayor brought together experts in mental health from the school system, from Community North Hospital. We had public safety people. And the really great thing was once we set objectives to accomplish for our first year, which was 2016, and people can go on the website and get a glimpse of the report and look at the status of all those objectives that we've accomplished them all, and some of them are ongoing. But some of the things that we didn't anticipate were really heartwarming. One was the outreach from the community. I probably got no less than 100 phone calls during 2016 about people that heard about the mental health initiative, wanted to become a part of it, wanted to know about it. I think I spent a whole paycheck at Starbucks meeting with everyone because we wanted to make sure that we met with every single person that called and wanted to be a part of it. And as a result, in all our meetings, we had breakout sessions at the end and the public would come. So that organic anti-stigma campaign, we did not anticipate. In addition is the response from the high schools. We've got a stigma-free group at HSC. HSC Stigma Free is their name, and it's got, you know, 70, 80 students. We've met with them several times, and to listen to them, their thoughtfulness is amazing. And now a stigma-free group at Fishers High School started. So it's really heartwarming to see the community come together, and under the mayor's leadership, it provides an opportunity to address something that most communities are not, and something that's very uncomfortable, but it needs to be addressed.
Yeah, and that HSE group was totally student-driven. They took the initiative to start that, and the Fishers group is an at-group, and it really started with one person, and then other people got involved, and it's just amazing how something like that can move forward. One phrase I saw looking into all this, it was, see the person, not the illness. What does that mean, John?
Well, I think our, you know, I think just society can just be so superficial and just so into the image. And I think young people in particular, but really even adults, are just sometimes scared to death for people to know certain things, or, you know, see them in a certain light, or not be made up just from there. Again, they're comparing their own reality, you know, to everyone else's masks that they have on. And I think that just speaks to let's not label people. You know, I mean, these are conditions, these are health conditions, these are treatable conditions, you know, and to please not hide from them, and don't feel stigmatized, and to truly not see someone and say, oh, well, I heard they're, you know, have bipolar disorder, I heard they are depressed. No, let's just see the person and not the condition.
And I'm sure your first responders see that up close and personal, don't they, Chief?
Yes, they do. One of the objectives was to change how public safety responds to mental illness. For example, in the past, you know, public safety would, you know, take people with mental health issues and literally just bring them to the emergency room, when maybe the emergency room isn't the best place for them to get treatment. So we're changing our response strategies, not so much with lights and siren, to aggravate a situation, and maybe not taking them to the ER, but taking them to a counseling center. And also, we're giving our public safety people the training to deal specifically with mental health challenges in the community. The paramedic training program has probably a page on mental health issues. So our people are going through the CIT training, critical incident team training, and our police officers are also. We're going to partner with Community North and embed a licensed clinical social worker in with an EMS duty officer starting January 1st, and they will go on all mental health runs. So what we're trying to do is meet the person at their point of need and really provide them services, not only emergency but ongoing services, that are geared toward making them better and helping them navigate a very messy system.
Because the police and fire first responders, they have so much to worry about, so much they have to be concerned about, particularly an ambulance crew. They're just looking at stabilizing the patient and getting them the help they need in the hospital, or treat them right there. So, you know, mental health, as you said, was one page. So do you not feel like you have a system where your people can get the help they need to see if someone needs to go to the mental health hospital rather than the regular emergency room?
Yes, we do. We've added a mental health component to our community paramedicine program. So not only do we provide emergency assistance for someone with mental health, but we will follow up at their home with the community paramedicine program. What we're trying to do is establish a continuum of care. We've been able to do that with the kids in the school system by partnering with Community North, HSA schools through the referendum. I'm happy to announce that as of January 1st, there'll be a mental health counselor in every single school, which is amazing. That's under the leadership of Brooke Lawson, who's the mental health coordinator for HSA schools. But now we've got the challenge with adults. We can't let adults fall through the cracks. And adults are a little bit harder to track than kids. So we're working on establishing a cycle of care for adults, too, and we're partnering with community. And the community paramedicine program is trying to fill that gap so we can, you know, these mental health patients, they become homeless, they become victims of crime, sometimes they're forced to become criminals. And on the adult level, we've got a lot of work to do.
Yeah, you know, John, there's a national website that deals with Movember. It's Movember.com. And you can create your own account and get involved in the national movement and drill down locally as well. But if you look at the national movement, it's actually bigger than what you folks are doing. I think you're concentrating on some of the mental health issues, but prostate cancer, testicular cancer, maybe not talked about as much as it should be because they're kind of private types of things. But if you have friends and relatives who are old enough, you're going to find a certain number that are dealing with prostate cancer, for instance. So this is part of the whole
absolutely program. And this in no way is to minimize that at all, because really men's health and mental health, similarly, just things that aren't talked about, right? A lot of, you know, macho notions and don't do it. So yes, that's a critical part of it as well. I'm certainly not trying to minimize that. And actually, so there are teams. The city has a team. The schools will have a team through the Movember. So we are partnering with them in that aspect. And then there's a Stigma Free Fishers Network. So anyone listening to this, even if they're not in Fishers, is more than welcome to set up a personal page. They can join a team. They're welcome to join the Citizen State Bank team, Bearded Bankers and Friends, or donate money. But there is some really good information. And we've been in touch, and Casey's been working with the Movember folks, too, to try to partner up with them as well.
And, Chief, there's a kickoff coming up for the local Movember campaign on November 1st. So talk about that.
It's from 5 to 7 p.m. at Four Day Ray. It's this Thursday, November 30th. So we're going to take a before and after photo. Obviously, this is going to be the before photo. Four Day Ray has graciously asked to be the sponsor of that. So we're very grateful for their participation. So we're looking forward to engaging the whole community, at least if not growing facial hair, to at least know what Movember's all about.
And, John, that will extend on to the end of the month. There's going to be a closing event as well, right?
Yes. Yep. So a couple of things to remember. Shave it clean by Halloween. And then the Wednesday the 1st, the kickoff. Now, the goal last year, and I think we should continue, that goes every male in Fishers. So that's about, 42,765.
About?
So last year's picture.
That's impressive.
We were about 42,000 and a couple hundred shy, but I'm sure Four Day Ray would open the balcony. But yeah, then the end of the month, Thursday, November 30th, 5 to 7 is the wrap up, and anyone is welcome. If you can't make the kickoff, you can still come to the wrap up, and just a lot of good fellowship and maybe a little bit of fun poking at each other. And I know last year we did the wrap-up at Four Day Ray, and I know some of the folks were going home to shave immediately.
After a little craft beer.
Yes.
Now, part of the Stigma Free campaign is centered on putting together resources that are aimed at preventing a crisis before it happens. So, Chief, talk about what that means.
I'm sorry, just...
Trying to prevent a crisis before it happens. That's part of the Stigma Free campaign.
Yeah. Phase one, we dealt with what we saw on the surface, mental health in Fishers, kind of like peeling the first layer away of the onion. But now phase two is really trying to work upstream, trying to map resources, meet people at their point of mental health need, community outreach, anti-stigma, and in addition, policy. The mayor, we hired a consultant, Suzanne Clifford from Community North, and she's working with the mayor on what type of policy issues can we work on at the State House. So it's really a comprehensive approach. It started out with, wow, we've got 187 immediate detentions. We've had 55 suicides in the past 3 years, what we saw on the surface, and now we're really attacking how do we prevent this from happening. Because, if we could teach people to do CPR and use an AED to restart someone's heart, why can't we teach people to help people when they come up and say, man, I feel anxious, depressed, and refer them to where they can get help?
Yeah, I remember Mayor Fat, actually before I became mayor, it was the town manager, Scott Fatness. He had access to all this data that during the time that he was town manager. And I kind of gleaned from my conversations with him that the data he saw every week and the reports that he received motivated him to do something about this when he saw the number of suicides and what are called immediate detentions by police, and then fire gets involved sometimes too, where you have to take somebody into custody basically for their own good because they're in danger of harming themselves or people close to them. And so this whole prevention, the idea of preventing that from happening, it's difficult to measure whether you're doing well because we are a growing population. Therefore, we have more people here. We may have more of these cases. That doesn't mean we're not being necessarily successful. So talk a little bit about this prevention ingredient.
Well, yeah, I think that's, and I think, as I recall, not to misquote the mayor, but or the town manager, I was, you know, that we can do better,
mm-hmm.
you know, as a community. And again, not worried about if some metrics actually increase, right? Maybe more calls because of more awareness. So that's where I think the authenticity comes in. So it's not looking for a quick, okay, reduction by this percent, that percent. But actually just uncovering things and providing resources, and we can do better as a community than waiting until it's a full-on crisis and just kind of gathering up all of the different resources as early as possible. One other thing I'd like to mention, because there are some key partners, but the beauty of it, and I think what blew up Chief's coffee budget was all were welcome. Mm-hmm. You know, if you've got something to bring – you know, bring it on. You're welcome. Come in. You're at the table. There's a faith-based initiative. You know, so there's no exclusivity. And even right now, yeah, those doors aren't closed. I mean, if someone hears this and has opportunities and wants to participate, you know, they are definitely welcome. So the key is starting the conversation earlier, destigmatizing that conversation, having friends and young people, you know, recognize some of the signs. And just to say something, you know, just to reach out to people and help people get the help that they need as early as possible.
Chief, I know you and John have been there from the very beginning, and you have been the point person for the mayor on this mental health issue, the mental health initiative particularly. You've already touched on this. Tell us a little more. Where does that whole mental health initiative stand? Because I know it took almost a year just to study the problem and put together some kind of an action plan. I know you're in the process of massaging that and continuing the actions. Talk about where that stands and where it's going now.
Well, quick history. 2015, we spent learning and drafting 9 objectives. And those objectives, just as a summary, working with sports, working with the interfaith community, and obviously working with public safety, mental health experts in the schools. And the mayor reported out this past summer on to the community on the results of the 2016 efforts. In 2017 right now, we're setting objectives for 2018. The first one is obviously to carry on the objectives from 2016. Some of those objectives will never end. To create a community that embraces mental health before a crisis occurs, it's a marathon, not a sprint. The second phase will be outreach and anti-stigma, which is part of Movember. You'll see activities and learning experience scheduled throughout the year. The third one is mapping resources. We will try to provide, obviously on our website now, because of the transparent system we have, all the agendas and meeting minutes will be posted. But we're trying to identify and define resources for people, everything from help navigating payment and insurance, different types of counselors, licensing, so people will have a resource. And thirdly is the policy part. What can the mayor and the consultant and the mayor's influence at the State House do to help people with mental health issues?
Yeah, I was always impressed by the fact that a lot of this entire endeavor isn't just looking for new resources. You're looking at what's already there and putting it together so people can better use what's out there. I found that to be an impressive part of what the group has done. John, you've already touched on this. I want to talk about it a little more because as a school board member, one of the results of the operating referendum, I believe, was approved last year, is a program to provide mental health services at all the buildings. I mean, there won't be somebody there every day, but all buildings, at least part of the week, will have a mental health professional there. And that is as a result of the voters overwhelmingly approving an operating referendum that funded that and a number of other things. So what I'd like you to do is talk about that. I've had a full podcast several months ago with Brooke Lawson, and she talked about that in detail. But as from the perspective of you as a longtime school board member, talk about how important that program is and how that's going to improve the kind of services people will see at the building level in the school system.
Yeah, absolutely. And another key player in all this, Dr. Mike Beresford, was a part of it from the very beginning. A lot of support from Dr. Borf and the board. So the first key part of that was Brooke Lawson, who you did a podcast with, and she is an extraordinary individual. So then we looked at a lot of different options. We had an RFP process and then came to a partnership with Community Hospital to be able to have those resources in the buildings. People are very busy. Transportation can be a challenge. So to have that ability in the building when the kids are there, I think is a huge step. And it also dovetails with some other things that had already existed. The Fishers Youth Assistance Program is doing some really good things. The Youth Mentoring Initiative is very operational in many buildings. So it's just kind of another step towards having the resources there, having the clearinghouse of information, like through the Fishers Youth Assistance, doing some mentoring with the Youth Mentoring Initiative. And then now with the Lilly Grant that Freedom Kolb and the foundation, you know, huge, huge win with the corporation. You know, some more school counseling type of thing. So some of it's, you know, career driven and things, not all mental health, but just huge progress, and very excited to see where that goes.
Yeah, I was very impressed with that Lilly Foundation grant. Lilly does not often offer grants to suburban school systems. Usually it's maybe some school systems that are struggling a little bit. But Dr. Borff said something very interesting at a school board meeting recently, where he said he'd asked Lilly why the award was given to HSE schools, and the response came back is, how could we, the way that your application was done, how we couldn't turn you down. It was something along those lines. And as you said, the foundation and some school administrators collaborated and must have done an outstanding job on that application.
Yep, and now the real work begins on that. And there's a lot of community members being asked to join on that task force to work through, you know, how that's going to play out. But really, it's just, it all flows together, you know, and just when good things are happening, they beget other good things. And literally, I would point towards the Stigma-Free Fishers, the Mayor's Mental Health Initiative, as really playing a role towards encouraging those types of things. I mean, just think outside of the box and take a holistic view.
And really, if you think about it, if a child, a youngster who's in school is having a problem, it's usually going to be the teachers, the counselors, or other students who are going to pick up on this. So the school is probably the best place of all for someone that age to try to identify somebody who may need help.
Yes, absolutely.
Anything you gentlemen would like to add, Chief, first with you, that we maybe haven't talked about on this?
I would encourage everyone out in the community, if you haven't heard of the Mental Health Initiative, go to the website. There's resources. There's the program management template. There's the mayor's report to the community for 2017. If you're unable to come to a meeting, because all the dates for the meetings are on the website, you can look at agendas and minutes. I encourage you to come out to a meeting and participate. We have a community of raving fans to address mental health in our community, and it's under great leadership. And the mayor was even asked to sit on a panel in New York City with the World Health Organization and talk about the substantive mental health efforts that we've done in our community. And I got to witness that, and it was amazing how much we've been able to accomplish in such a short time. It's because the community is involved as a whole. So I encourage everyone to just get out to the website, get out to a meeting, or come out to some of the events.
That's fishers.in.us. And is there still a button on the front page for a mental health initiative? There is. So you can find it right on the very front page. John, anything you'd like to add?
Well, again, just the more the merrier. We'd like every male in Fishers to not shave in November. Participate in Stigma-Free Fishers. Come on out either Wednesday the 1st for the kickoff, shave it clean by Halloween, or Thursday, November 30th for the after. I mean, how much notice do you need to not shave?
Depends on where you started. I want to thank Steve Arusa, the fire chief for the city of Fishers, and John DeLucia, longtime school board member and chief lending officer for Citizens State Bank. Gentlemen, thank you very much.
Thanks, Larry.
Thank you, Larry.
My thanks to John DeLucia and Steve Arusa for taking some time to talk about Movember. You can find out more about the Fishers Mental Health Initiative at fishers.in.us. A reminder that if you enjoy movies, listen each Saturday for a new Hamilton County Goes to the Movies podcast episode. Adam Austin and I review at least one film in the theaters and welcome a local guest with ties to the film industry. Go to LarryandFishers.com and use the tab at the top of the page, Podcast, Hamilton County Goes to the Movies. This is the Larry and Fishers Podcast. My name is Larry Lannon. I write the LarryandFishers.com news blog from Fishers, Indiana, the suburban community northeast of Indianapolis. Thanks for listening. We'll talk again.